And welcome to Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today, Dr. Kara Odom Walker. She is Executive Vice President and Chief Population Health Officer for Nemours Children's Health. And welcome.
Thank you so much for having me today.
We've spoken before, and of course, we spend a lot of time talking to the experts at Nemours, because it's not just, we're not talking just about children when we talk about Nemours Health. We're talking about families. And so I think that the conversation today is going to center around a lot about family health and community health. And so we're going to start this off with, what is population health?
Thank you so much for having me. I think now it's even more important to focus on population health. So as Chief Population Health Officer for Nemours, I am responsible for really understanding what we see in terms of health in our communities, the health of all children, and what we can do to care for the whole child, not just their physical health, but also their mental health and well-being. And a big part of my role is how we create a better health for the future. How do we create innovation, new ideas, new ways to make sure that we're not just addressing what we see in front of us, but also what we see in the future? So I am pleased to be with an organization that believes in elevating the health of all children, whether they come to us for health conditions or not, but more broadly. I am a practicing family physician. I believe that kids need to be thriving to create healthier generations of Americans, of Delawareans, of all of those in the Delaware Valley. And part of the way we do that at Nemours is by providing high quality care. That could be primary care, specialty care. It could also be how we advocate and work with governmental leaders and advocate for better policies, better laws, better regulation, and how we interact with partners, how we partner with schools, other community based services, organizations. So it is truly a broad responsibility, but I am proud to be with an organization that believes in elevating and going well beyond medicine.
And again, the approach is, it's not just an individual. No individual is suffering alone. Their entire family unit, and then you have to look at their neighborhood, the community, and then you extrapolate that across the country, and you see that we have so many common issues that need to be addressed at this point. And Nemours, what I love about them is that they do, if they have a kid sitting there, they talk to the parents too. And they look in a holistic matter of how is the family making it. And that's part of this whole thing, isn't it?
Absolutely. We know that kids live in the context of their families, of their communities, of their schools. And so it's so important for us to not just ask, why are you here today, but how can I help? And that question needs to be a broad question about, do you have the food you need day to day? Do you have access to community programs and supports? Can I help you, mom, with making sure you have the infant formula that you need, or partner you with the right community health worker to help you navigate really complicated systems? So I think that that is a big part of creating health and creating wellness. We also ask caregivers about their own conditions. So we know that right now, we certainly are in a time when mental health is highlighted. It is highlighted not only for kids, but also for parents. And so asking that caregiver who's in front of us, are you suffering from any challenges with depression, anxiety, other mental health needs? Can we help make sure that you are doing well? Because we know that matters for kids to thrive.
Let's back it up and talk about, we all use this term, social determinants of health. And obviously, we can't continue this conversation until we speak of this first.
Absolutely right. So those social determinants of health, or those social needs, are a big driver of how we measure health and well-being. Those social factors are actually more important for overall health of anyone. 85% of all of the factors that contribute to health include those things that aren't just about genetics, aren't just about your health condition. It is about behavioral changes, the environmental changes, access to food, housing, economic instability. It comes down to some of these factors that are so critical to drive our health and well-being that we see disparities in how people live by race, ethnicity, and income level. And so for us at Nemours to ask about these questions during a health visit are so important to driving overall health that we place it front and center. We ask about, how are you doing? Do you have food insecurity? Do you have challenges with making sure your housing is stable? Do we need to help you connect to school resources to make sure that you can graduate high school, that you can get access to literacy information? So we agree, social determinants are a critical conversation in healthcare.
What are you seeing are the more serious ones that Nemours faces? What are the more common ones? Is it the economic instability? Is it racial? All of these can impact your mental and your physical health. But are there some that are maybe leading the pack there right now?
When we ask these questions to families, what we're seeing right now, the top three factors that are driving insecurity and overall health outcomes are housing instability, food insecurity, and number three is internet access. And we think that the third one is a little surprising, but maybe related to how people are navigating jobs, remote school, other resources, and that if you don't have home internet access, you can't necessarily engage on your device and get a telehealth visit set up. And so we're working through what that means. But I do think that if you ask a broader set of individuals and families, we are truly at a time where we need to continue to focus on how we elevate all of these environmental factors, all of these community-based resources to make sure that everyone can thrive and have access to economic opportunity, to educational opportunities, and to make sure that they're connected to community-based resources.
I have to say, I was getting ready to jot down number three. And when you said internet, that really surprised me. So access to internet obviously it's as important as having a phone. Used to be 40 years ago. And you are right. You can't make an appointment. You cannot follow through on those charts that they set up for you online. Applying for jobs, applying for respite and your rent, even all of that is online today. So big surprise on that one. Housing and food, obviously, I guessed those. The effect of housing or unstable housing or I'll fix that one up later. But I'm not doing well today. This is one of those days. Let's talk then about housing and food insecurity. The impact of the housing crisis right now.
Yeah, the housing crisis certainly drives other factors around economic instability, around health outcomes. We certainly see challenges around stable housing impacting kids' ability to stay in the same school or to make sure that they're not exposed to allergens for their asthma, or adding additional anxiety and stress about, am I going to be living in the same place from month to month? So housing, especially in the Delaware Valley, is driving a larger and larger part of family expenditures. You know, if they look at their bills at the end of the month, it is housing that is driving much of the need and much of the instability. And so we see that atop of the charts. I think the biggest challenge is making sure that we have enough affordable housing in our communities. And that is something that Nemours isn't necessarily building housing, but we can connect to partners in the community, to programs that can provide that stability. With what we're seeing right now with the summer heat, it is also related to how people are managing and, you know, do they have access to air conditioning? Do they have access to places to stay cool? And so it is a big part of driving health outcomes for certain kids, especially those with really complex needs.
And it's a shame because in the Delaware Valley, we have probably the oldest housing stock that is still standing, and so much of it needing repair, empty or needing repair, almost uninhabitable, but people still living in them. And they're paying more than a third of their income towards housing. And that does not allow for any of those other niceties like food and medicine. Transportation.
Yes, absolutely. So you also mentioned food insecurity, and food insecurity does come into this top three list of concerns that our families are identifying. And we also know that food insecurity disproportionately affects those who live in low-income communities. We know that helping children thrive requires healthy access to food, to fruits and vegetables. Right now, we are certainly trying to make sure that more and more young people have access to fruits and vegetables. We've seen reports that say almost 10% of households in the past year were food insecure for at least some portion of the time. After the pandemic, some of the relief that was going to certain families has been reduced. And so we're seeing even more families come to the pediatrician saying, I don't have enough to get me through the month. And I am worried about making sure I have food for my kids. So this is a big deal. We are actively advocating for more benefits through the SNAP program, formerly known as food stamps, to make sure that children and families get the support they need. We know that SNAP is critically important to support healthy child development. It is the largest health and nutrition program in our nation. And we know that SNAP actually reduces food insecurity for millions of children across our country. But being food insecure puts you at risk for health conditions. It actually makes you more likely to be obese in the future, more likely to have heart disease, more likely to have depression and anxiety. And we know that on the contrary, having food in the home, having food security actually leads to better health outcomes, education outcomes, and economic outcomes. So the basics of food, you know, just making sure that every child has a meal every day is a huge commitment. We are really proud to be part of a White House commitment around food security and hunger elimination, and proud that part of that commitment is around food security in particular. So I think that if we could do one thing in our communities is making sure that every child is not hungry every day, and we have plenty of food in our nation to figure out how to solve that problem.
And unfortunately, if you live in a lower economic area, it's the choice of food that you do have that is just appalling.
Absolutely. And that is something that we can also do something about, right? I mean, I think in some communities, it's, do I have access to a farmer's market? Do I have access to fresh fruits and vegetables? Is this the cheapest thing to get me through the month? I remember patients coming to me saying, oh, well, yeah, I'm trying to manage my heart disease, but all I have in my cabinets is canned vegetables. Well, you know, we had to have a conversation about how much salt is actually on those shelves and in those cans that's actually leading to their chest pain and the fact that they're getting swelling in their legs and not feeling well in their current healthcare condition. So we have a lot to do. We also work with schools to make sure that they know having healthy fruits and vegetables as an option for children is super important, and trying to avoid some of the sugar sweetened beverages that we also know contribute to obesity and long-term health outcomes is super important.
Hey, if you're just joining us, this is Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today, Dr. Kara Odom Walker. She is the Executive Vice President and Chief Population Health Officer for Nemours Children's Health. Now, if you'd like more information about what we're talking about today, the place to go for Nemours is always nemours.org. Nemours.org. You'll be able to tab your way to wonderful information about everything that we are talking about and far, far more. Nemours.org. You had started to talk about mental health, and then I took us astray. And obviously, all of these, being food insecure, worrying about where you're going to sleep, we're talking about those childhood traumas that not only, again, impact our physical health, but our mental health. And so after 2 years of COVID and isolation and now a new housing crisis going on and all of the bad headlines, how are kids faring now mentally?
So we are still in a youth mental health crisis. The U.S. Surgeon General issued an advisory in 2021 And our nation's pediatricians and family physicians have been grappling with this crisis since before the pandemic, and it has only continued. So it's not just about the isolation that we experienced during the pandemic, but there's something else that is going on that we certainly need to call attention to it. In 2021, more than 40% of high school students felt so sad or helpless they could not engage in their regular activities. We have seen a tremendous, almost doubling of the number of children and youth who have come in through our doors in the emergency department who have had severe mental health needs, suicidality, or self-harm. This is something we can't ignore. And unfortunately, the connection between saying, I need help, and getting help has a gap. So more than half of children with behavioral health issues don't receive treatment. Among adults, those who have had a mental, emotional, behavioral disorder during their lifetime, over half actually had it start during childhood or adolescence. So we have to pay attention to what's happening for our youth earlier. This is a national crisis that's impacting our nation's future security and economic productivity. So for Nemours, we know that we have to address mental health in order to improve whole child health. It is about going beyond our walls, addressing these needs, and connecting. We also know that schools are a critical place where children get access to mental, emotional, behavioral health. It connects to academic success, to graduating high school, to going on further in their educational pursuits. And we believe that policy at the state and federal level can help, but it's also about what we're doing to make sure that in our primary care offices, we're screening for those needs. We have resources and experts who are sitting aside those physical health needs that can really connect and counsel mental health needs in our clinics and in our community centers and locations. We also are really appreciative of the legislatures of our states who have been pushing this issue forward, passing critical bills and extending funding to make sure that we have psychologists in the right locations, in community settings, and in our schools, and believe that that is one step to making sure we have the engagement needed. I am right now in DC, I think I told you, and we are really appreciative of federal engagement to make sure that kids also have this support and funding from federal agencies. This is an important part of what we're doing. We were part of advocating for the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act that addressed some of the needs for the youth mental health crisis. And some of that work is just providing funding for school-based services. And we really know how valuable that can be. We actually have embedded behavioral health in our primary care network, but also extended this care through 9 school-based health centers throughout Delaware, working in elementary schools in the Colonial and Seaford school districts. I think this is so important to provide in the context of where kids go every day, making sure they have referrals, ongoing trusted partners in community settings, and making sure that every child has a connection back to their primary care provider. This is part of how, again, we address whole child health and go well beyond medicine.
Well, I know that you are a primary care physician, and obviously you're in Washington as we're recording today. But now that implies that most kids are seeing a primary care provider. And I think we all know that we have such a shortage of beds for kids in a mental health crisis. And there aren't that many providers, and it can be long waits to get in to see a professional who will deal with youth. So, I mean, is this another crisis that we have? We don't have the facilities available.
We absolutely need to make sure that we have care available when it's needed. So part of the way Nemours is addressing this is through telehealth and through partnered models and through training additional workforce for the future. We also just recently, last week, opened a new behavioral health unit in our emergency department. It is not going to necessarily address all of the needs overnight, but having additional behavioral health services that are available and safe for any child who's going through a crisis is a critical part to making sure that we're addressing these needs. I also think that part of what we need to do in the future is make sure that those who identify a behavioral health issue do get the treatment. And part of the way we do that is making sure that we have ongoing relationships, ongoing training for any provider, not just a behavioral health expert, not just those who are psychologists and psychiatrists, but also pediatricians, specialists need to make sure that they are screening and connecting to services.
Well, now so many families get connected to Nemours, and unfortunately through a crisis. Maybe it's not mental health, but maybe it's an emergency situation, or their kid is sick and they were told, get to Nemours. But then they're going to get that follow-up. But are kids getting enough primary care? Are kids getting into the system early enough to get preventative health care measures, vaccinations, et cetera? Is that another problem?
We definitely do a great job of taking care of the kids who come to us and make appointments. And we definitely see most of those families who are already seeking appointments and calling us, they have their vaccines, they get their screening, they get what they need. What I worry about most is those who don't come to us. And so my ask, if you're listening to this and you haven't gotten your vaccines, you haven't gotten your checkup, call us for an appointment. We are really trying to identify that gap in where some families say, I'm just too busy. I'm just, you know, overwhelmed with everything going on. I don't have time to make that pediatrician's appointment. I think that is really the essence of what I'd like to share and what my role is as population health officers to say, who are we addressing the needs for today and where can we go in the future? So part of the way we're doing that is by growing primary care access, hiring more pediatricians who can provide care. You may have seen that part of our network, it used to be called the Delaware Children's Health Network. It's now called Kidwell. And we are moving into Southeast Pennsylvania because of exactly what you said. We know there are kids who need primary care, and we want to make sure that they're getting every need that they have identified. Much of that, though, is through prevention. It's saying, you know, yes, I'm here today because I need something. I have a cold, I have an earache, but I actually really should be here to talk about how do I prevent other conditions from ever happening. And that is the role of primary care. About 90% of all healthcare actually happens in primary care settings. And it is a huge part of creating a network where we focus on prevention, where we prevent long-term complications that extend into adulthood.
But if the kids aren't getting in early and you're only going because there's an immediate need, they lose out on years of possible health outcomes. So you kind of touched upon getting out into the community. And obviously, this is something that can't be fixed by any one organization. It does take everybody pulling together there, from the legislature to the healthcare providers to the communities, centers, and organizations that are in touch with all of us. You've got to have some partnerships. You've got to have some big initiatives going on.
We do. We do have partnerships. The only way to get to health is by creating these linkages. One that I'm very proud of is the work that we're doing with school-based health centers. It is where kids go. It is where they thrive. It is where they are focused on the future. But we also know it's the place where health isn't often part of the conversation, at least not every day. With Colonial School District, the Eisenberg Elementary School in Newcastle has a wellness center that serves Colonial's 7 other schools for grades kindergarten through 12. Eisenberg serves as the hub and the other schools are the spokes. It was founded in 2017. Colonial is partnering with us at Nemours Children's Health in Delaware. It's a place where kids can get their physicals, mental health counseling, receive treatment, have prescriptions written. They can get their vaccines and non-emergent services and nutrition counseling. Parents aren't charged a copay. We have people will connect them to other resources and specialty care if needed. And we are also partnering with them in a really exciting initiative to talk about how we can create a data connection around absenteeism. The number one reason that kids are absent from school are often health-related reasons. Either they have a mental health need, it's a dental issue, or maybe it's their asthma. And so if we can work together with schools around preventing absenteeism, especially long-standing absenteeism, we can actually promote high school graduation rates and improved test scores in math and reading. And so I'm really excited about this partnership, not just for the kids that we serve every day for their healthcare needs, but also for this opportunity to look upstream and go well beyond and making sure that they really are on a trajectory to thrive and have the best opportunities for their future.
What about the national office? You want to talk a little bit about that one?
Sure. So Nemours Children's Health has a National Office of Policy and Prevention. It was established in 2008. It's located in Washington, D.C. and in Delaware. And we focus on those ideas that can be shared across our nation for optimal health and well-being for all children, not just those that we serve in our clinic walls. So we focus on these prevention and population health strategies through a variety of activities. It actually spreads across our nation to focus on how we provide technical assistance to states around early reading and literacy, around healthy eating and nutrition, around how to really focus on early childhood care. And we also advocate. So we are a voice, a leading voice nationally for elevating the healthiest generations of children. So that means we are in Congress. People know who we are, and we are saying, make sure you're focusing on kids, what they really need, on nutrition, on making sure we're paying for health, and making sure we're advocating for resources for some of our most vulnerable in our country.
Is Nemours a pioneer in all of this? I'm going to let you brag here for a few moments.
We are the only children's hospital that has a DC-based national office, and it does place us in a very unique place where we have long commitments to make sure we're elevating the voice of children and youth. I believe we are a catalyst for accelerating pediatric population health improvement and health system transformation, and also pushing to make sure that we are not just paying for things in healthcare, but paying for health. This is a long journey for Nemours, and certainly was something they did before I joined the organization. But I am very proud of the policy team and our role in advocacy and how we focus on elevating work, spreading and scaling innovation, and uplifting it through other partnerships that exist in Washington, D.C.
We are actually almost out of time, and I always ask at the end, before the parting words even, how does the public get involved in the initiatives or in this mission to getting more stable, better health care to everybody, to all the kids?
It is truly a all-in effort. If anyone is interested in working and advocating for children's health, we need you to work with your legislators, your state senators, your state representatives, your governor, your congressional representatives. We need you to advocate for the things that kids need because they are often the quietest voice in the room. We need to make sure that our lawmakers and federal policy leaders know that they can advocate for the Farm Bill, for food security, for mental health resources, and for safety and access to the right resources in your communities. It is so critical that we support the best trajectory for our kids. And some of that is just making sure that we are acknowledging they need schools that can support their entire person, not just their educational opportunities, but also their physical health and their mental health and well-being.
Okay, parting words. What's the takeaway from our conversation today?
Nemours is here to take care of all kids in our community, and we are here to support going well beyond medicine. If you are interested in learning more or meeting some of our doctors, they are at nemours.org, and we are committed to making sure we're providing the best care in this region.
And you just said it, Nemours.org, the place to go for more information. Nemours.org, they have information about all of the different services, the care providers, and their initiatives and their community work that they are involved with. And that is Nemours.org. My guest today, Dr. Kara Odom Walker. She is the Executive Vice President and Chief Population Health Officer for Nemours Children's Health. Thank you for taking the time to talk to me today.
Thank you, Laura. Nice to see you.
And you are always welcome back. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Focus on the Delaware Valley.